Well, good evening. It's been a great day of worship, and that was one of my favorite songs. That I walked in at 5:30, and he was on the piano playing "Love Like a Hurricane," David Crowder, and I was like, "Well, for those of you who are early, I went up and sang with him." It was I love that song, and I just want to say as we get started, the you know, our deacons do such a great job, and they spent the afternoon, many of them, serving our shut-ins the Lord's Supper. And that means so much to those shut-ins. And it's interesting that all of them report back and say, "Hey, we went to be a blessing to them," and what happens? They end up being blessed by the people they're serving, and so that's the way it should be. That's the way the family of God should work. And so just so you all know that, if you know of a shut-in, and we're doing the Lord's Supper here on Sunday morning, our deacons, and Mike, I know you help coordinate a lot of that, we'll definitely willingly go and serve them. And then next week, you know, Tom is going to be at Morning View for their worship service on Sunday at 9, and two of our deacons will go there and serve the Lord's Supper at Morning View. And so there's great things that are happening behind the scenes that you may never see or know about, but we're getting some really good feedback and response from folks who are excited about that. So thank you, deacons, for serving us well today. I do want to mention that tomorrow we are, as a staff, heading up to First Baptist Church Concord. We're going to spend a day with other church members, church leaders up at First Concord with Johnny Hunt and the Hoosier One emphasis that's going on right now in our Southern Baptist Convention. It's an evangelism strategy. And again, I don't know if you're reading your bulletin, it's got lots of good stuff in it. But some of the breakout sessions are cultivating your heart for evangelism, practical ways to start gospel conversations. I'm planning on going to that. I'm very interested in that. Creating a culture of evangelism in your church and utilizing small groups for evangelism. That's an event that you can drop in. You say, "Hey, I can't get there till after lunch." It'll be gone into the afternoon. You say, "I can't get there at 8 when it starts. Come at 10. There'll be some things. Johnny is going to lead all of the plenary sessions in the sanctuary, and then there'll be some breakout sessions. That, by the way, is where Brad is tonight. Brad took the youth up there for their youth supper. They're having a big worship service rally tonight at First Concord. Pastor Johnny's preaching, and so many of our youth and their families will be up there tonight, and then our staff for sure tomorrow. So you're welcome to come to that. That's open to anyone. It costs nothing at all, and the only thing it's going to do is stir your heart for evangelism. Also want to mention, we will be back tomorrow night at 6:30 for our ministry team meetings. So Jamie, Brad, and I will be back, and we won't miss those. And I hope you won't miss those either. What do you want? Some good news? I got good news. Our building, Raise the Roof collection, went over $15,000 the first week. So that's a really, really strong beginning. And we're very grateful for that. And then another thing that surprised me, which, wow, I mean, that was surprise number one, the benevolence offering was over $1,000. So just asking for fives and tens and twenties adds up quick. And so if you were able to bless others through that, thank you. Thank you for giving towards these needs that we have in the roof. I can tell you last week, where is Jamie? I don't see Jamie over there tonight. That's right, Jamie's in Bible drill. I'll tell you, one day last week when it was raining all day, I thought he was going to quit. I did. I was nervous. He had that look on his face. He said, "I'll see you tomorrow." And it was one of those, "I might see you tomorrow." He goes, "I got buckets out over here. I got leaks coming over here." And I was like, "Jamie, we're going to get it, man. We're going to fix it. Don't quit." He's doing a great job, and blessed to have folks around the church like him that take care of us in so many ways. Well, I'm going to speak one more week addressing this issue that we started about 3 weeks ago on becoming a welcoming church. I had overwhelming positive response from Brad's dad being here last week, on Sunday night. I thought he did a fantastic job, gave you an outsider's perspective. Know that he's been to our church a couple times and has kind of checked us out as a outsider looking in. And so the root of a welcoming ministry is the gospel. And here's why. The sole reason that we're inviting people to come on Sunday is we want them to hear the good news about Jesus. Okay? And what we want to do is we want to minimize any distractions, right? Any inconveniences, anything that would cause them to not listen and or put up some kind of a defensive mechanism against hearing the word. And so all we're trying to do with welcome ministry is to make sure that people have a positive experience when they visit the church, so that when it does come time for the message, they're eager to listen because of the experience they've had up to that point in the worship service. So the analogy that we've been using is this idea of expecting company. You know, if company is coming, and we know company is coming, we had company this morning. We had a mom and a dad who came with their son and daughter-in-law and their five-year-old. And I mean, they just walked in. Michelle grabbed them at the back, you know, introduced herself, whipped around the corner. I happened to be standing in the back. She said, "Pastor, come here." And we were able to engage that family. And on the way out, she said at our old church, our favorite church hymn was "Victory in Jesus." So, that's why we sang that today. That was one of those things. They probably put a fleece out like, if they sing "Victory in Jesus" today, we're joining. We're there. That's our church. So, it was a really positive visit. And see, the purpose of us being a welcoming church is that we're expecting that, right? We're expecting that. We are anticipating it. We are preemptively preparing for that, so that when they do come, we're not caught off guard. All right, I'm going to give you a couple of nuggets. I'm going to start with the most controversial one, and then we'll work towards the less controversial ones. In this little book, Tom Rainer, Becoming a Welcoming Church. And by the way, do you know the reason I'm doing this on Sunday night? It's because I know y'all won't come back on Saturday morning for this. I'm going to get a better turnout on a Sunday night than if I do this with, you know, biscuits and Bibles and come learn about welcoming church. And y'all be like, nah, we got stuff to do. So that's why we're doing it. I'm just putting my cards on the table. So here's the controversial issue. The meet and greet time in the service. Up or down? Here's what Rainer says. Okay? Both a majority of members and a majority of guests would like to see the stand and greet time go away. We got an amen. Mike, I heard that. You're identified. Hey, Eric, put the camera down on him so people on the stream can see. That was Mike. So listen, for the members, about 6 out of 10 really did not like it. So 40%, yeah, we like it. 60%, not so much. So, however, this is where the alarms began to sound. 9 out of 10 guests do not like the stand and greet time in church services. What is that? Why are there such major differences between the preference and opinions of the members and the preferences and opinions of the guests? The guests address this issue in near unanimity. The stand and greet time is a tradition or ritual for the members, they told us. Members tend to greet other members they know. True or false? I think this is absolutely right. You go to where you're comfortable. So members tend to greet other members they knew. Relationship patterns were obvious and guests were on the outside looking in. In some churches, however, the members did greet the guests, but according to our survey, the greetings seemed artificial or contrived. And here it is. This is the kicker. They greeted me because they were told by their pastor to greet me. See how that could be perceived as hypocritical? I mean, if I walk in to a service and I sit down behind Ernest, and the only time he turns around and says anything to me is when the pastor says, "Stand up and greet somebody around you today," that person is saying, "Dude, I've been back there for 20 minutes. Where have you been? Now all of a sudden you're going to be friendly. Now all of a sudden you're going to be, oh yeah, good to see you today, man." So what they're looking for is the warmth of the welcome long before the time that it's called for in the service. So what he's saying in essence is this: we can be a welcoming church without the meet and greet time. In other words, if all we're banking on is the meet and greet time to be a welcoming church, then what? We've shot ourselves in the foot. Because when is the meet and greet time on Sunday morning? When is it? 10:45? Right? I mean, a couple songs. I'm up. All right, everybody, let's welcome each other. Well, that person may have been sitting there since 10:15. And if they haven't been greeted warmly and welcomed warmly, then they're saying, hey, why are you having this thing in your service where you're acting like you're friendly when the reality of the last 30 minutes is what? You're not at all friendly. That's his point. So, controversial. I'll tell you this. We haven't had the meet and greet time, Mike, in 4 weeks, and not one of you's complained about it. Not one of you's come to me and said, "Pastor, when you gonna put the meet and greet back in?" Now, what's up with that? Josh, what's up with that? You miss it? Or are you a bunch of germaphobes? He's the only one that he's one of the 40%. We're going to split the church over the welcome, to welcome or not to welcome. That'd be a first. But it's just, you know, when you start to think about it, why do we do that welcome? And I think the tradition has been that we do it because it does give people the perception that we get off of our pew, we turn around, we acknowledge others around us. But the reality of it is, he's saying for welcoming church, we've got to do that a long time before that's happening. So they go on to say it this way. They were obviously part of the welcome team and the greeter ministry. One of them did wave at me, but then they continued their conversation with each other. Well, that's like the ultimate slap, right? There's a guest over there. Hey, okay, Mike, what were we talking about? Just kind of going into our own bubble. He said this: "I had never counted holy huddles before, but this time my curiosity got the best of me. By the time I walked from the church parking lot to several different places in the church building, I counted 27 holy huddles. Of a total attendance of 700, of which 500 were adults, people formed 27 huddles." So he's telling us that we've got to be careful about how we naturally go to where we feel safe and where we feel comfortable. Let me just finish this section up before we move on. For those of you who are reading this who would say, "Well, we don't do the stand and greet time in our church, so we're off the hook," I would say, well, maybe. Perhaps you visit communion stations at your church during the service, or you float by guests like they're invisible, or perhaps before and after the service. The culture of the church is to form discussion groups, boxing out folks who are new to your community. If that's the case, you have the same issue. And so it's really the before and after that we need to emphasize. I want to encourage you to do something practical. Don't be so quick to sit down on Sunday morning. I know that is instinct. You finally made it out of your connect group. You're in the sanctuary. You're ready to sit down and just, oh. And the longer we can linger, linger at entryways, linger in hallways, linger in the lobby, the more people that we can touch. Has anybody tried to track me from 10 to 10:30 on Sunday morning? I'm everywhere. I'm like a ninja. You can't keep up with me, right? So that's what it's about. It's about being visible and engaging people. Some of who maybe for the first time, and don't forget what last week was. It was so important when he said this. It hit home so hard for me. That person walking in the door could very well be someone's prayer request. That they have been praying and praying for this person to come to know Jesus, and finally they come. And if they have the most negative experience, we came in, we sat down, nobody talked to us. A couple came up and said, hey, can you scoot over? This, you're in our seat. I mean, all those no's that we know not to do. There is no reserved seating in the church, by the way. Y'all do know that, okay? There's no reserved seating in the church. Someone's in your spot, praise the Lord. Just be nice to them. All right, safety and security and cleanliness. And these are just some application points for us that we're going to be addressing really soon. And a lot of what I'm doing is I'm just preparing you for some of the changes and things that are coming. In our children's area right now, we have no less than 6 access points. We had a sheriff's deputy who specializes in church security go through the building with me and Tom one day, and that's not good. That's a security nightmare. Somebody can come from that old choir room into the children's area because you know what? Those double doors are open. They don't lock. They could come up from the old kitchen. There we go, old kitchen. Dave, do you know where the old kitchen is yet? All right. You know, you can come up those stairwell through the old kitchen. Bam, you're in the children's hallway. You can come down from this hallway, right? Our education hallway. You can come down from the top. You can come up from the map maker's room. I mean, think about it. How many ways can you get into that children's wing? It's crazy, right? And any security evaluation will flag that and say, you've got way too many things happening here. You need to lock it down, maybe one way in, one way out, or 2 ways in, 2 ways out, but not more than that. And so those are things that are coming to our attention that our security team is starting to work on. One of the things that Rainer mentions in this book so prominently is having policies and procedures online for parents to know their kids are going to be safe. How do I know my kids are going to be safe when they come to Madison Avenue? What are our policies? What are our procedures? And so we've got to develop those. One of the things that they encourage you, Rainer in the book, he said, put them online. Because remember, the website is what? The website's the front door of the church. And if I want to know, hey, look, these folks take security serious. These folks take my child's safety serious. I've never seen a church that was just that. Here it is in black and white. Here it is in writing. So we need to work on this question. What communicates to a guest that we are taking church security seriously? Now, I'm just going to ask it. On a Sunday morning, how many of you, Jamie, can you get me this one's dead. On a Sunday morning, how many of you know who's working church security? If you had an emergency, what would you do? Doug, what would you do? Come find the pastor. Come find a staff member, right? Come find the king of the deacons, you know? I mean, that's kind of how we are. Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
You think this is going down too?
I hope not.
All right. My Bible weighs, you know, 1,000 pounds. That's a Baptist preacher's Bible, so, you know. No, I'm kidding. So that is of the essence. How do we have individuals that we know that we could go to? Let's say you go to the parking lot and you're a guest and your car won't start. Who do you contact? Ted Hughes will take care of you. Well, who's that? Well, you got to look for these guys in these bright orange shirts. You know, they're our parking lot, help or however we want to call them. And one of the things that Rainer is emphasizing in the book over and over again is you want your greeters and you want your people who are there to help to be identifiable so that we know who they are. Imagine the difference if you on a Sunday morning said, anybody out there in a lime green shirt can help you. I don't see one single lime green shirt, though your blazer is you're kind of there, right? Those are some of the things, because what is that? That's visual. That helps people to know. So what if we just played this for a minute? If on Sunday morning you were inviting someone to your Connect group, I'm going to pick on Tony in the back. How would you invite a person to your Connect group, Tony? Where would you tell them it is? All right, you failed. That's what the person at Home Depot does. It's back there on aisle 43 in the corner, right? What a difference would it make if we were to say to folks, hey, Dave Long and his team, they'll be right outside those doors at that Welcome Center and they'll walk you over to the class, right? What a difference that would make. One of the things that we are taking for granted is the vastness of this space that we have. And we were talking in staff meeting last week, and Brad was like, let's come up with a map. Let's come up with a map. But I know people who don't like maps, and I'm one of them. I don't want to have to look at a map to get to your class. But you know what? If you told me, hey, our class meets downstairs, come around the back of the church, I'll be standing outside. Tell them what you're wearing. We'll walk into that class together. So it's so much better than saying to someone, hey, we're over across the street. Now look, when you turn there on that Madison Avenue street, there's going to be a church on the right, and then there's going to be a big warehouse-looking building on the left. What do we call that building, by the way? The Family Life Center? Do we call it the gym? Do we call it the fellowship hall? You know, I've heard all of those since I've been here. We've been calling it the activities building, but you know what? When I came to be your pastor, I didn't get the Madison Avenue vocabulary guide. Did you have one? You forgot to give it to me. See, you're trying to set me up. I know what you're doing. That's what we're talking about. To be able to have the same terminology. Say, oh, there's an activities building, A, B, it's marked on the map, better. I will walk you over to that activities building. We will meet you. It's not where the third class upstairs on the right as you're headed towards Gracie's. No, I'm going to take you up there. So listen to what he says about this, because, again, I'm just planting some seeds this evening as we're trying to work through this idea of security. It's one that the more we study it, the more we realize that we're in need of this. He says, we cannot discuss the issue of safety without mentioning the fear of church shootings in our culture. What does your church do to communicate clearly to guests that your church addresses this matter seriously? At my church, we have a highly visible police car in the parking lot and a plainclothes policeman with a visible gun and badge who stands at the front entrance and greets people. Now listen to this. We have heard from countless guests the security they feel when they see the police car and the policeman. We checked into this, and on a Sunday morning, 3 hours, Tom, $90, $100?
$30 an hour.
Yeah. So close to, ballpark figure, $4,500 a year, we could have a police officer on campus on Sunday mornings. A lot of churches are going to that. Now, the first thing that you say is, And it's the thing that all these churches say, it could never happen to us. It can. And at least we could tell our guests, we've thought through this. We have policies and procedures. We have protections in place. We have a security team. You may see some of them walking around one day with an earpiece and a walkie-talkie, and they're communicating to each other, walking through the halls and making sure that our members are safe. So these are some of the issues as we talk through this welcoming church that don't necessarily have to do with the cleanliness of the building or with the friendliness of the people, but it's just people want to feel like they're safe when they come. They want to feel like somebody is watching them. I can tell you, since this topic has come up, I have had my mind multiple times. And I'll tell you, Carolyn, the last time it was Thursday night. We had close to 100 people across the street for the Valentine's party, and guess what the two front doors were? I checked them. At one point in the program, I went and checked them. Wide open, unlocked. Anybody could have walked in those doors. And I know we could say, look, we've been here, what, 70 years, Linda, plus? You know, we've never had an incident. But I'm telling you, we're living in a different day and age. And what we feared 70 years ago is not what we fear today. And so part of it is just being responsible and being accountable to the people that we're trying to reach and that the people that we are trying to serve. And so that is one that really jumped off the page at us. Let me talk for a minute about the lobby. What is that area out there? What do you call it? The vestibule. I've called it about five different things from the pulpit if y'all been paying attention. I really have. Even this morning, I was like tongue-tied. I was like, in that welcome thing in that center, what do we call it, station? I think I called it the welcome station this morning. Where did that come from? It's a welcome center, right? Hey, take that card back to the welcome center. But I was like tongue-tied on it. So when you start to talk about the lobby area, here's one of the things that Rainer is big on. Where in our church is a gathering space where you would want to linger rather than leave? Is it our lobby? I mean, do we see people regularly sitting down and having conversations in our lobby? Come on, y'all, tell the truth. We don't. Why? Because our lobby is what? It's very formal. Everything out there speaks of a very high decorum, and there may be some guests who would be like, I'd be afraid to sit in that chair because if I broke it, I couldn't afford it, you know? So there's some very nice furniture and things that are out in the lobby, but what when a guest comes in and we're welcoming them and we're striking up a conversation with them and maybe we're, you know, giving them a handful of peppermint patties or something to, you know, start their morning off with us, if there's a place where they can linger and learn more about the church instead of what, rushing in, grabbing a seat, sitting down, a gathering space, maybe some bistro tables where you can stand and have a conversation face to face, maybe some comfortable couches out there at some point where people can actually sit down and enjoy a conversation. We have a really unique setup here. Have y'all figured that out yet? When I first came, Sam and I had long conversations about what are we doing between 10 and 10:30. I think I figured it out. We're going to become the welcoming church. Imagine rushing in here because we start worship at 10:15. You'd be like, whoa, 10:15. So we got out of Connect Group at 10, we start at 10:15. That's not wasted time, is it? That's time that we can use to what? To invest in others. And one of the neat things about guests who are coming back, the fact that they're saying that they have felt God's presence in this church and have felt welcome. How many of you look at our Google business reviews? What are y'all doing at night, Rick? You're not checking out our Google business reviews? Y'all need to be checking these out. Let me give you this one. Last evening, I think it was. This is from one of the ladies and her family that's been visiting our church. This is what she says. This is the friendliest church I've ever visited. Yeah. We went caroling during Christmas time, and because of the amount of love that was shown to us, we have been attending services. My daughter loves Awana on Wednesday evenings and Bible drill during Sunday evening. We will be joining the church soon. So my daughter and husband and I have a church family to call our own. When? Right? I mean, that's what we're after. We just had Rich here last week challenging us about being a friendly, welcoming church, and then we got that on our Google review, and it's like, yes! So that's something that I think is encouraging, very encouraging. All right, let me mention one or two things more, and we'll wrap it up. We need a team of passionate servants who want to make the guest experience the most enjoyable possible. But every one of us has to contribute to the welcoming church. Even though we might have a team who is focused on that guest experience, we still have to have members who are thinking outwardly when they come into the church, looking for and identifying those that they don't know and approaching them and showing them that they're not being ignored, but in fact are very much on our radar. Another thing that we really need to focus on is a gift to remind our guests of our church and their visit. He talks about one of the interviews he did, and the pastor who went to the home was invited to the home and said, "Hey, we'd like to visit." And she saw, or the pastor saw, the wife's coffee mug that was with the church's logo on it. And she said, "Oh, we drink out of that coffee mug about every day. Thank you." That's a visual reminder for that church anytime that they see that. And so if we have some coffee mugs in the back, they're for guests, okay? You have to buy yours. No, I'm kidding. And then you just ask this question. As we begin to even approach this, let's do it in small pieces. Let's take baby steps, bit by bit, step by step. Colossians 3:23 was a verse I wanted to share tonight. Many of you know what that verse says. Whatever you do, do it from the heart as for the Lord. And so even in our greeting and in our welcoming, we can do that in a way that glorifies the Lord. I remember a preacher one time said, you can peel a potato to the glory of God by the attitude that you have when you do it. And I was like, wow, I hadn't thought of that. You know, you can glorify God by the way you greet, by the way you smile, by the way you connect, by the way you show you care and that you love. Because we don't want just one Google business review like that, right? Every year we want 20, we want 30. We want people who walk in these doors to feel the love of Christ from us, genuine, not forced. And so thinking through that as we move forward, what we're planning to do is to have some more training for people who want to be involved on that welcoming, greeting, first impressions team. And you may be here the last several Sunday nights and say, hey, that's what I want to be a part of. That's a way for me to serve. We need all age groups involved with that because people of all ages walk through the doors. And so we'll do some more intentional training in the days ahead as we get more geared up and prepared for that, and then take some small bites out of it a little bit at a time until we get to where we are a step ahead of where we were the time before. So that's kind of the plan that's going forward. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for some time to just to remind us about the kind of church that you want us to be. God, I thank you when we have a win that we can celebrate, where we've reached out, we've shown love and friendliness, and it's made an impact on someone. And Father, it's not that we're paying people to put up fake reviews. I know companies do that. Lord, these folks posted on their own accord, and we're grateful that you brought them into our path to minister and to serve. And so, Father, it tells me that we're on the right track. There's not a Sunday that goes by that we're not seeing families visiting with us. And Lord, for them to come as our guests and for us to love them and to give them a great experience, Father, that's our calling. That's our joy, because this could be the very church where they hear the gospel, believe on the Lord Jesus. It could be that they're here because they had a bad experience at a church. And Father, they're here and they're wanting to heal and they're wanting to feel the love of the body the way, Lord, this church loves each other and loves those that we don't know, but we want to know. And so, Lord, we pray for wisdom. We pray for discernment. We pray for direction. Lord, we got a lot of things that we're discussing with security. And Lord, we just pray that as we begin to implement those things, that our church will sense that there is a greater concern for that, and that our guests, when they come, will say to themselves, wow, they have a policy. It's in writing. I was handed it. It's on their website. And wow, this church really is doing all they can to keep my children safe. Lord, those families will come back because of the way we care, because of the way we secure and watch over their most valuable relationships with their children. So, Lord, we just thank you that we have people thinking about this. We have people praying about this. And we have an army of welcomers in our church. And so help us to be intentional. God, not to wait for people to come our way or pass by us, but for us to take the first step to walk across the room as we learned last week. So, Father, we do love you. We do thank you for the welcoming church that we are and that we're becoming better at. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.